We're continuing the Tumah Dvorah. We're up to the sixth attribute, Ki Chafetz Chesed Hu. For Hashem seeks kindness. Halo perashnu bimkomo sheyesh beichal yadom malachim emunim kabei gmanut chasedim sheadam aseh ba'olam hazeh. We explained in its work, in his other work, in his Kabbalistic work, that there's this special room where you have angels who are responsible for collecting our acts of kindness. And then when there's a claim of exacting justice against us in heaven, so then the angels come and say, yeah, but look at all the kindness they've done, look at all the good they've done. So then Hashem has mercy upon us. Because what Hashem seeks actually is kindness. He likes our kindness. And even though we might be faulty, we might really be deserving of punishment, if we are kind to one another, then Hashem has mercy on us, even though we don't deserve it. This is a concept that appears many, many times. Our sages tell us that the armies of Ahav, in Ahav's time, he himself worshipped idols. He married a non-Jewish woman who worshipped idols. Throughout his army, the people of Israel were adopting pagan practices. And yet, every time they went to war, they were successful. The Talmud even goes so far as to say he never lost a battle. Everyone on the planet felt subservient to him because his army was of such a superior quality. So the Talmud asks, how come King David, with all his merits, when he'd go to war, people got killed? And yet King Ahav, with all his sins, when he'd go to war, no one got killed. So the Talmud says, because in David's time they had Lashon Hara, correct? As pious as they were, there was slandery going on. This one was slandering that one was slandering this one. And in Ahav's time there was unity. People were kind to one another. So as sinful as they were, the verse says Ahav had pornography on his chariot. His wife wanted to always keep him interesting, so she'd leave and make sure he'd have all kinds of engravings and stuff on his chariot. We'll see it. It's a verse in Kings. Nonetheless, on this point, they were on a very high level. They were kind and caring to one another, and that unity caused them to have that miraculous miraculous assistance from above, that it was just unnatural that you'd go to war and no one gets killed. So that's this idea that we're seeing here. Hashem really seeks our kindness. Ukmo shaya bizman ha-chulban. And as we find in the time of the destruction of the temple, shne'emar le-Gabriel, bo l'binot la-galgal. The prophet in Ezekiel describes a very strange occurrence that the angel Gabriel was summoned. And he was summoned to a place called Binot LaGalgal. The simple translation of that is the understanding of cycles. Kihu Saradin VaGvura, that's the place where you have the one in charge of the exacting justice. Gabriel is the one who's responsible for Gvura, for exacting justice. ונתן לו רשות לקבל כוחות הדין בינות לגלגל, מתח לקובים יש שם מזבח. God tells him, the prophet over there describes, that God summons the angel Gabriel, tells him, go, take burning coals. And he goes under the burning angels, and he asks them to pass him the coals, and they pass him the coals, and then he goes and throws the coals over Jerusalem to destroy it. Our tradition is that when Gabriel went to get those coals, God told him, get the coals. He didn't. He said, I don't want Israel to be completely annihilated. So he asked the angels there to pass him the coals. And the idea was that in transferring the coals, they would be cooled down. So whatever that means, this is an allusion to the idea that we were deserving of complete annihilation at the time. And the angels, so to speak, did what he could to soften the blow. And then he was punished for it. God said, who asked you to do it? Either don't do it or do it right. You could have said, I don't want to be the one to do, I'm not going to be a messenger to destroy Israel. That you could have said. But you can't go somewhere in between. So Gabriel gets punished for it. This is a Gemara in Yuma. So whenever we read these things, we read them like 3-year-olds, right? Like it's a simple story. he did it that, he did that, right? Okay, fine. So we have to realize that there's something going on here. We don't know what's going on here. There's something much deeper going on here. But for whatever. At any rate, the Talmud Dvora is quoting the story that he was summoned there to take coals from the altar. And that's the idea that there was going to be exacting justice where God's kingship would be exemplified. You'd see now how he is admonishing the people of Israel for their sins. And we were at a point where the justice system was out against us, to the point where there was danger of annihilation. Because in essence, that's what we deserved at the time. So it says over there that a hand appeared under the angel's wings and passed them the coals. So how did Gabriel have the right to soften the blow? The hand appeared to hand him the coals. What's that hand representative of? That's representative of the claim, Hem gomlim chasadim elu im elu. They hand things to one another. They're kind to one another. They lend things to one another. They extend a helping hand. So the idea over there was that even though we were really deserving of such a punishment, we were saved and something remains, right? There's still people of Israel. Because we do kindness. So the reason is this trait, this attribute of mercy of Hashem, ki chafetz chesed hu. God likes, God seeks kindness. Hashem is always looking to see where do they do kindness to one another. And then Hashem makes mention of that, even though there are other angles where we're not deserving, where we're terribly wrong. But if we're kind people, that's something that always comes to our favor, that comes to our defense. In Cain, so now we describe that attribute of mercy by Hashem. Now he applies it. How do we apply it to ourselves? B'midazu roi la'adam litneg. This is how a person should behave as well. Apim ra adam, she'adam oseh lo ra umachiso. He sees the guy's doing something bad to him. He's really upsetting him. Im yesh bo tzad tova she'metiv la'acherim. If he sees that this person has a good attribute, that he's good to others, or midat vashmit nekashura, or some other good trait that's right about him, yespik lo tzadze levatel kaso me'alav. He should, that should suffice to annul his anger against him, v'yirtze libo imo v'echpot chesed. His heart should find favor with him, and he should seek out that person's kindness. We work the other way. It's on. Kedepirshu Razal, I skipped the line. The Yomar Daili B'Tavazo Sheyeshlo. And a person should say, okay, it's good enough that he has this attribute. V'chol Sheken Be'ishto. Even more so, one should apply this to one's wife. Ordinarily, with one's wife, one has expectations which he thinks are fair. Oh, is it too much to ask for her to prepare me a buttered toast in the morning? Is it too much to ask for her to leave the car filled with gas? Is it too much for me to ask for her not to overcharge the credit card? Is it too much to ask? A person always has all these claims and he says to himself, that's legitimate. Why not? Kedepirshu Chazal, our sages taught us, Dayenu shemegadlot et banenu umatzilot otanu minachet. A person should view it differently. He should say, you know what? They're bringing up the kids. They're saving us from sin. The fact that I'm married, if I wouldn't be married, who knows where I'd be? So that's the attitude Chazal said we should have post-marriage. A person should look at the good that is there. And that's easier said than done. People are biting the bullet, or at least they decide they're biting the bullet, and then they have all kinds of claims. Wait a second, shouldn't you be doing more? Yeah, that's for big tzaddikim. No. It's an attitude. We live in a generation which repeatedly expresses the idea, I deserve better, I don't have to put up with this. And those are not Jewish concepts. We say, who said you deserve anything? Be thankful for what you do have. That starting point where people have inalienable rights, So yeah, there are certain inalienable rights, but they're not as far-reaching as people would like. And the truth is that you would think that by assuming a better lifestyle, you would be happier, but the inverse is true. Because you assume you're entitled to it, so you're not even thankful for it. We had a very interesting occurrence this past Friday. We took the kids in a new route to get to the same place. And they got all excited. They started talking about, wow, we're going through a tunnel. My wife and I were shocked. We weren't prepared for this. We just took a new route home. And the excitement, the kids were like shocked. Look at that, look at that, look at that. And they were going on and on the whole ride just because we took a different route. And my wife and I looked at one another and said, we have to learn from them. They have such appreciation. They spent a half hour telling one another, did you see that? Did you see that? What about that bridge? What? You know, and we were thinking like, big deal. But they're right. They're right. There's something exciting. If you take things for granted, so nothing's exciting. I stopped and I thought to myself, I remembered as a kid getting excited when we'd go through a tunnel. It's been a few decades since I got excited over going through a tunnel. But if you think about it for a second, it is special. When you're there, you suddenly say, hey, wait a second. I was able to go back to that thrill as a kid of being happy I was going through a tunnel because I heard my own kids getting excited we were going through a tunnel. If you don't take things for granted, then you enjoy life much more. Suddenly it's so exciting. It's exciting to be going by bus. It's like a fun trip. We take it for granted. I get on a bus, I go. You can't take it for granted. People can reach a point where they take everything for granted. I have a friend who every vacation he tries to up the ante. So I remember I was with him when he took the kids for a helicopter ride in honor of one of the kids' bar mitzvahs. And he took them for a helicopter ride all across Israel to show them all of Israel. And then I was there at the next kid's bar mitzvah, and he's telling the kid, okay, so we'll go on a helicopter ride. So the kid says, no, that's boring. We did that for his bar mitzvah. And I'm thinking, okay, what's he got to do now? He's got to take him for a space ride, but you know, he's got to take him on a spaceship. If you keep upping the ante, so then the kid lacks appreciation. We ourselves, the more we take for granted, the less happy we'll be. There's a joy in sleeping on a freshly laundered blanket, wearing freshly laundered clothing, wearing ironed clothing, but you could take everything for granted. And then what's that good for nothing wife doing anyways? There's a joy in eating fresh salad. There's a joy in coming home and having someone to share your life with. But it's very easy to miss all of that because there are so many other things I want. And we have a choice. Whenever we look at a person, we could look at what's there, we could look at what's not there. We could look at our spouse, and this is where it comes up most often, and see what's not there. And I'm telling you, you will discover that as amazing as you thought she was when you got engaged, suddenly when you're married, wait a second, this isn't what I thought I was getting into. But the problem is in us. The problem is in our expectations, in our appreciation. So Chazal gave us perspective. Chazal said, is she raising the kids? Is she there for you as a wife? Meaning you have times when you are intimate, so you're not running around without a base. Okay, more than that. But what about my waffles? What about my pancakes? What about my toast? What about my laundry? What about my shopping, cooking, cleaning? Okay, Dayenu, Chazal said, that's enough for us. And it's a switch in attitude, but it's a very important switch in attitude. Kach yomru al kol adam, dai li betova plonit shasali. This is how a person should treat every person. He should say, wow, it's enough, he's done so much for me. O shasayim ploni, or he does so much for other people, o midat tova plonit sheshlo, or look at that positive thing about him, v'yeh chafetz chesed. A person should be one who seeks kindness. And this is, again, this is an attitude. I had the good fortune, we went last year. You three met. We went to meet Rabbi Nachum Rom. He's a very big Talmud Chacham who lives up the block in Har Nof. So we had a program which we will hopefully restart next semester, where one Thursday night we had cholent, we had the late night learning, and the other Thursday night we'd go meet either a great Talmud Chacham or a disciple of a great Talmud Chacham, or both. And then we'd hear from them. So, do you guys remember what the first thing he told you was when we got there? After offering you a drink.
Yeah.
What was the first thing he said? You have such an amazing rabbi. Remember?
Yeah.
Because that's the type of person he is. The first thing he's going to do is see something positive. He's helped me so many times. And one time we had to go somewhere together. We took a taxi together. And the driver didn't have exact change, so we couldn't divide the cost fairly. So I ended up owing him like 4 or 5 shekel. So I came after him a day or two later, and I wanted to pay the 4 or 5 shekels. So he says, no, keep the change. So I said, what do you mean? We said, we're dividing the taxi, the rate evenly. So he looks at me and he says, after all the kindness you've done for me, I'm going to accept 4 shekel back from you? So I looked at him stunned, like, what kindness did I do for him? He's been helping me all the years. So he says to me, oh, you don't remember once we had a discussion and you showed me a tshuva in Migros Moshe I didn't know. And he started calling me a few little things that here and there we had a discussion. But in his mind, that's the way he views people, the fulfillment of this trait. You did something small to him 3 months ago. So how could I take 4 shekel from you? He's done 10 times more for me. But that's not how he views it. It's an attitude. So that's, by him I saw the embodiment of this attitude, Tomer Dvorah says. So then his whole life he's happy. Look at how much good people are doing for me. I remember once we were talking about how he mentioned to me he can't meet one afternoon because he has to watch his granddaughter. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, fine, he can. And then somehow he mentioned his wife and he said to me, oh, she pampers me so much, she takes such good care of me. Attitude. I don't know. Maybe she does pamper him so much. Maybe, yeah, maybe no. I have no idea. But I know that he's a person who views everyone as doing so much good for them. Yeah, if you view that way, so then you enjoy everything, so then everything's great. And that's one of the greatest gifts we can give our kids, an appreciation for what we do have. Nothing's for granted. If I take it for granted, that's one less thing I'll appreciate. Maybe I'll end with a story. I called my grandmother one day and she asked me, what's doing? I said, nothing special. So she said, how dare you talk that way? I said, Grandma, what did I say? She said, let me tell you. When the Nazis came to our town in Poland, so me and my sister and my brother, we hid under the floorboards. And they used to have a raised floor. They had wooden slats that were, and there was a space between the slats and the floor. They were raised over the ground. So they hid under the slats. So they spent 2 to 3 weeks hiding under those slats. And only at night, when like 2, 3 in the morning, they could go out from under the slats, go find something to eat, and then go back and hide there. So she said, imagine for 3 weeks, we couldn't go to the bathroom. Our bathroom was down there under the slats. And it became so unbearable that by the end of the 3rd week, I was praying. I said, Rabbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, give me one more opportunity to live like a normal human being, to sit on a rooftop and take a normal breath of fresh air. I will never stop thanking you for normal air. So my grandmother said to me, you breathe normally today? How can you say nothing special? Breathing is special. You're breathing, right? That's special. So I said, you know, you're right. There's a Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos says, Kol ha-nishama te'alel ka. We say it every day. The verse from Psalm, Chazal say, Al kol nishima v'nishima. Over each and every breath, te'alel ka. A person should give praise. So that, if that's the approach, so then a person has a beautiful life because he has appreciation. So this attribute, although it's an attribute of mercy that we learned, an attribute of mercy towards our fellow man, it's also an attribute which ultimately the person himself benefits from. He has a much more beautiful life.